Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany, and we have a few announcements. First of all, there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. this evening. And if you have previous obligations or commitments, or your particular schedule of what you are going to do this evening, maybe some of you have to actually go to work. That does happen in these days. But if it's something that is of lower priority, what is more important than worshiping our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? After the Mass, that is the greatest devotion. So make every effort to assist at benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. So that's 6 p.m. this evening. And then one of the priests will be blessing articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And occasionally we mention this, that we like to thank those of you who assist us in the maintenance and different projects here, especially the cleaning of the chapel, dusting, etc., and of the hall. And so we are requesting that if anybody would like to do that, to make that a very beautiful corporal work of mercy and almost a spiritual work of mercy, because you are cleaning God's house, all you have to do is come to the 8:30 Mass on Mondays, and then afterwards, if you've never done it before, you can be instructed or told the pointers by the others who help. Now, the reason I mention it is because I've been noticing that the people that are doing the cleaning seem to be getting, as we are, getting older and older. So if there aren't replacements, then we'll have to get Merry Maids to do it. Now, the reason also I mentioned is a couple weeks ago, there was a snowstorm, so there was no one here able to come. And so what happens is all the priests do the job. So, which I'm more than happy to do, but we have so many obligations here, so I just mentioned that as a devotion and as an assistance for us. Now, last year, the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary was on Sunday. This year, it's a week from tomorrow. I'm just mentioning that because it's a very important feast in the Church, probably the most ancient of those honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that's a week from tomorrow, so it is a high Mass at 9 o'clock. And then Tuesday, February 3rd, that's a week from this Tuesday, is the Feast of St. Blaise, where there are the Blessing of Throats. The reason we're mentioning it in advance is just so you, if you're able to adjust your schedule, to get the Blessing of Throats on the Feast of St. Blaise. And probably the priest next week will explain more about that. Now, before we read the Epistle and Gospel, we'll just mention some of the feasts of the Church for this week. Today is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. Now, it's not celebrated today because of the Sunday, but it is a very important feast because we received our faith from St. Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. So the countless, literally hundreds of millions of Catholics since his time that are not of the chosen people, the Jewish people, owe their faith to St. Paul. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Polycarp, and he was a disciple of St. John the Apostle. And he was a martyr. And as so many of the early martyrs, and even in later centuries, people who were so on fire for the love of God that they weren't afraid of dying for their faith. They would speak boldly against their enemies and those who were attacking Christ or the Blessed Virgin Mary. And sometimes children did that, young people, in the face of soldiers and government officials. They would stand up to the faith, for the faith. And so we want to recall briefly the story of Saint Emerenciana, a virgin martyr who was born around the year 290 to 92. So this is just a few hundred years after the death of Saint John. There is very little known about her, and as usual, there's so many accounts in more modern stories or sites or books on the saints who say it's a legend, we don't know anything about her. And as I've said before, our response to that is, yes, there have been times in the history of the church that sometimes stories were exaggerated or even created. But for the most part, they are true stories. And even though there is no physical document or computer file or monument to these saints, that's because they didn't exist or those means of recording information didn't exist. That doesn't mean their life didn't exist. And I would tell those people, you know, maybe 100 years from now or 300 years from now, who will think that you even existed? Because what did you do? All you did is attack God and his saints. And maybe you're going to be buried in hell for what you blasphemed about God and his people, those who he sanctified. She was born around the same time as Saint Agnes, probably the greatest virgin martyr in the history of the church. And what was the circumstances is that the mother of Saint Emerenciana nursed Saint Agnes when she was an infant. So they were, Saint Agnes and Saint Emerenciana were called foster sisters. They were close to each other. So they grew up and they were both instructed in the faith. Saint Agnes was baptized. And her story, as you know, she was brought before the Roman officials, standing up for the faith, and she was put to death at about 12 or 13 years old. A day or two after she was martyred and buried, her friend, Saint Emerenciana, went to the tomb, to the grave, and there she was weeping because she lost her friend, her close, in a way, her sister, and maybe in a way closer than a blood sister. And she was very sorry and very sad. And you know what happened? Some of the evil people that were responsible for the death of St. Agnes and who hated Christ and the faith, they started making fun of her. Maybe we can, by today's circumstances with children, they were bullying her. Well, she wasn't going to put up with that. She started defending her friend and what she believed in, defending the faith. Well, they didn't expect that. And so what they did is they looked on the ground, these bullies, these men, and took stones and stoned her to death, a young girl. What kind of people do things like that? Very evil people. But the final point of that story is that Emerenciana, Saint Emerenciana, was never baptized. But she's a saint. She was never baptized. She was a catechumen. And this is the defense, one of them, against the heretics, the Fenians, who deny the baptism of blood and baptism of desire, which have been doctrines of the faith from the earliest times. Because would God deny salvation to someone who was studying for the faith and because of whatever circumstances could not be baptized? And I've even told that circumstance to people that we teach here. I've told converts or catechumens, because they're worried when they start studying, they realize their salvation is in danger. And I said, you will be baptized, you will be brought into the faith, but if something should happen, let's say you drive away and you're killed in a car crash, God forbid, you had the desire to be a Catholic. As long as you have a fervent and sincere desire and you are sorry for all your sins, God's not going to send you to hell. So that's the beautiful story of this Saint Emerenciana, who was commemorated on Friday, this last Friday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from Saint Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as far as it lies in you, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for by so doing thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I will, be thou made clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See thou tell no one, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them." Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and cure him." But in answer the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee." And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One point that we're going to just mention before we speak to you about today's Mass, the Epistle and Gospel, is a few moments ago I said, what kind of evil people would do such things? And we have countless people living like that in society today. Government officials, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers who are practicing, promoting with a demonic zeal, if we could say that, and that is the horrible crime of abortion. Killing babies, murdering them in the womb. Now, it's so commonplace, it's been in this country for over 40 years, and unfortunately in this state of Colorado, we were the first state to legalize it, if you didn't know that, in 1967. What a disgrace. But see, they don't want to stop there. Because since it is legal for babies to be killed outside the womb or while being born, there are those, especially in the corrupt pharmaceutical and medical community, who are saying parents should have the right to put their infant or their young child to death a few months after being born, 6 months, even 3 years old. Did you know that? And those evil ideas are especially coming from Great Britain and Europe, but they're being promoted by very evil people. Those infants, they're not getting a chance to be baptized. The devil will do anything to keep babies from being baptized and having a chance to get to heaven. And when on websites and blogs, when I've read how people are criticizing it, then there are these comments by these people who are making fun of the pro-life people or the anti-abortion people and ridiculing them. What a heavy price they're going to pay on Judgment Day. They will be those who promote and practice this horrific crime and take advantage of women. They will be, as is described in the gospel, they will be cast outside. Well, there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a description of those who are damned, who are condemned to hell. That is what our Lord is talking about there. God created hell for the evil spirits, but also because of those men who willingly follow the devils and not sorry for their sins, they will also go there for all eternity. So those are things to think about. And ask God for mercy on all humanity for these terrible crimes. And if you are in the presence of someone, relative or friend or stranger or fellow student or fellow employee or employer, and they start spewing out the garbage about being for abortion, You're supposed to be in their face. Oh, I might lose my job. Oh, really? So you're going to keep your job, but have a bad conscience for not standing up for Christ and the faith and all the tens of millions of infants that have been murdered. So we wanted to say that, since it was the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in 1973. Incidentally, the majority of those justices were Catholics. The majority of the justices on the Supreme Court right now are Catholic. And the ones that are conservative, that vote against these immoral practices, they think, well, I at least voted against it. They should publicly condemn it and resign their position on that corrupt court, which is this year probably going to sanction and legalize unnatural unions in marriage. God have mercy upon all of us, on our country and the world, really. So we wanted to say that. Now, briefly, what St. Paul is telling the people of Rome, these are the recent converts of Rome, who are mostly Gentiles. He is telling them, be, if possible, as far as lies in you, be at peace with all men. That means do not get on a soapbox and start being the person who's always telling people what they're supposed to be doing. There's a balance between what's called fraternal correction and minding your own business. Maybe it's not your position to correct other people. Look at yourself, look at your children, who you're responsible for, before you start presuming to tell others what to do or what they're supposed to be doing. And as it says there, vengeance is mine. That's a quote from the Old Testament. And St. Paul is reminding these recent converts of Rome, never commit the sin of revenge. You've been mistreated, I'm going to get back. Don't do things like that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Everything that we do, every good work, will be rewarded. Everything that is evil or even an idle word will be punished, as it says in the Gospel. All the countless things that we do every day, we have to make an answer for before God. But he says, if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. That means, very obvious way, if someone, your neighbor, even those who are persecuting you, if the circumstance warrants it, help the person. Because not only by your words, but by your example is how you make converts. When people know you're Catholic and traditional Catholic, and they see how you act and speak, especially act, that is a way to help souls get to heaven. And if there are things that you are doing that are scandalous or bad example, then that is a source of punishment for you in the future. Because let's say you're at work and a person says, blasphemes God, says the holy name with irreverence, or is participating in impure jokes, and they know you're a Catholic, and yet they know you're a traditional Catholic, well, they think, well, your faith doesn't mean much, so it doesn't mean much to me. That's what's happening. Now, in the gospel for today, the whole point of our Lord's public life, which is about 3 to 4 years, was to preach and reveal himself to the chosen people, the Jewish people, that he was the Son of God, and that through him they would have salvation, that he was the Messiah who had been for 4,000 years prophesied that he would come. While some of them did convert, many of them could not accept it. How could this man be the Son of God? He looks just like us. So what did our Lord do? He performed miracles. If you saw someone perform a great miracle, you think, well, this must be divine power. This man, there's something special about him. I should rethink what I'm... my rash judgment about saying he's not God. But for most of them, they became jealous of his popularity and his influence, and that he was performing these good works. Has anyone been tempted to feel resentment or revenge when you see someone perform a good work? Makes you feel low because you didn't think of it or do it. And so what do? You tear that person down. That's what the Jews were doing with our Lord. So then, after performing miracles for his chosen people, which the first miracle was cleansing the leper, which is a symbol of sin, this disease which covered the body, he then was approached by the centurion. And in this story, what the scripture writers say and commentators is the first miracle of curing the leper was an example of our Lord manifesting his divinity. This is why these readings are put in the season after the Epiphany. That feast when our Lord was manifested to the Gentiles, symbolized by the Magi, the three kings. So our Lord performs this miracle to be an example to convert and cleanse the Jewish people, to open their eyes by this beautiful divine work of curing him. And it says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And the reason the man was cured so instantly is because when the leper saw our Lord, and remember, these people were outcasts. They could not even come around anybody. They had to wear a bell around their neck, and it would ring while they're approaching so that they would not come in contact with others because it was considered a contagious disease. It is, but not nearly as much as they thought. But in the God's law, the Mosaic law, leprosy was considered a symbol of sin, and so God commanded that the people stay away from these people that had leprosy. But the man, it says, came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that is the whole point of really why we're here today, why we assist at Mass, why we even exist, to worship God, to adore him, to express our faith in him, in his divinity, and in the fact that his mother is the mother of God, the true mother of God. And that is why our Father Superior, 20 years ago, when he was instructing us how to prepare for Mass, he'd say, when just before he assists at Mass, and this is what we followed his instruction, to make acts of faith in the divinity of Christ and in the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's what we did just before we began the Mass. And that maybe is a good example or tip for you to do that just before the Mass starts. But because he had faith in God, he was made clean. And then the centurion, who represents the Gentiles, and he was a man that had much authority, but he was a friend of the Jewish people. It said he built their synagogue because he had a faith, but he was not a full member of their community, of their religion. But he wanted to help his servant, this Roman soldier. And our Lord was ready to perform that miracle, come to his house, and the man says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. You should come to my house. Because I am not even an Israelite. And he said, if you just say the word, I know that he will be healed. And so it was his faith that saved the servant. And those words, as you know, have been immortalized and said countless times, millions and millions of times by the priest and by the faithful, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but only say the word, my soul shall be healed, my servant shall be healed. What a beautiful expression of faith. So, that is all we have to tell you today. And as all of us, all the priests here, remind you, because you have to go into the world and face the enemy, which means those who are bent on destroying the faith and compromising it and watering it down. But if in your own soul you have and you pray for strong faith, hope, and charity, you have to do that first for yourselves. Because if you don't have strong faith, you cannot pass it on to your children or to others. And that is why you assisted Mass today, to increase your faith and your trust in God, and above all, your love of God and love of your neighbor for God's sake. May God bless you.